Marion Ettlinger is famous in the literary world for her book jacket photographs. Now she has a book of her own, a collection of her portraits called Author Photo. Truman Capote, Joyce Carol Oates, Raymond Carver, Ann Patchett, Edmund White, Robert Stone, Cormac McCarthy, Richard Russo, and Sarah Vowell are among the many writers she's photographed. She's known for her brooding, introspective portraits. Ettlinger started photographing authors in 1983 when she was hired by Esquire magazine to do portraits of 45 authors and journalists who had contributed to the magazine's 50th anniversary issue. Terry spoke with Ettlinger last year and asked her if there was a unifying look to her work.
Well, the most important aspect that I strive for in a portrait is that the person is present in the portrait, that they are there. And it's extremely interesting when I review my contact sheets at various times, and there are 30 images in a row that are virtually identical in terms of the pose and the setup and everything. And the variations really might come from the most subtle expressions in the face of the person. And in one frame, they're there. They're utterly present. And the next frame, they're kind of not. They've drifted. And that's not to say that drifting can also be something that is lovely and that you want to use, but that sense of presence is really key to me. And also, especially with authors, I like to bring out the fact and to make them look smart and soulful and maybe sexy. And well, often the first two might just, you know, make the third one a certainty.
Why sexy? Why does a writer need to look sexy?
They don't need to look sexy, but I guess if you're in the camp that you find smart and soulful sexy, then they just will.
No, a lot of your photos of writers, the writers look very kind of, the men look kind of hard-boiled. There's a certain drama about the women. What if a writer shows up and they're really just kind of schlumpy, you know? And to really capture the essence of this person would be a photograph of a schlumpy-looking person. What are you going to do? Are you going to go for the schlumpy, or are you going to, like, rework it so that you've got that drama or the hard-boiled? You know what I mean?
Well, maybe I can't go from schlumpy to hard-boiled, but I think even the schlumpiest of us have our better moments, and that's what I'm looking for.
And how do you find it?
You know, you just look for it. You just, like, you know, some people in their pre-photo nervous state might say, oh, you know, I'm really not photogenic, trust me, and want me to know that. And I understand that because, you know, I think there is such a thing as that photogenic, and I think a few people have that. But I think most people don't have that. In other words, what I'm trying to say is that being photogenic is not required, because I think everybody can be photographed well or not so well. And if you're photogenic, well, that's just like gravy. But, you know, and anybody can be photographed the best version of themselves. Even a schlumpy person has a range.
Let's look at some of the photos that you've taken. You have a photo of Truman Capote in which he's in profile and looking up. It's a very odd angle. And his mouth is kind of turned down into a frown. Talk about that pose.
It was a shoot for a magazine, and he consented to do the shoot, and with the request that the office of the magazine, which was Esquire, by the way, would inform him 3 days before the shoot and remind him that this was happening 2 days before the shoot, remind him the day before and on the day. And so they did that. I was on the road, and they kept up with me and telling me that he was with the program. And except for the day of the shoot where they couldn't get hold of him, but they said, go ahead, go anyway. And I went there and knocked on the door, and there was nobody home. And I went away for a while. And when I came back, I was driving up the driveway, and a car was coming out of the driveway, and we stopped and rolled down the windows, and a friend of his, I believe it was Jack Dunphy, said hello, and I said, "Hi, I'm here to photograph Mr. Capote," and he said, "Good luck," and he rolled up the window and drove away. So I went, that doesn't bode well, and I drove up to the house, and this was early on in my work life, as I might have mentioned, and as I was getting out of the car, Truman came running and screaming out of the house, waving his fists in the air, like it was very cartoon style, and screaming about this was the wrong day and he can't be bothered with this and Esquire, you know, why they send him such an amateur and pretty much terrorizing me. And then as I was quivering, he said, "Start now or get out of here," basically. So I went, okay. And we, standing there, I just started to photograph him. And the first frames are him just glaring at me. So maybe to relieve myself from that gaze, I asked him to turn in profile. And he turned in profile. And as he did that, he started to do this extraordinary thing where he just started to lift his head and raise his chin, and he started to look truly magnificent. And I suppose I murmured some words of encouragement, and he continued to do that and held that, and I took the rest of them that way. And when he heard the last shot being made, he said, "That's it, goodbye," and walked back into the house. And the great art lesson that he taught me was that, well, prior to him, I had only known courtesy, cooperation, and all kinds of nice stuff, and I just assumed that those things were crucial in order to get a good result. And he taught me that that's not necessarily true, and that if you go with what's happening, something much more interesting and more beautiful might happen as a result of that.
Now, Sarah Val, you took her author photo.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a very tight close-up of her face. She's kind of like surrounded by darkness, but her face is illuminated. And it's a very kind of sober, almost grave expression on her face. And whereas her writing is very funny, and her writing is so much about being like neurotic and nerdy, and her look is so different in this photo than her sound, or I think than her image in person.
I had never seen her before she entered, and I had a very specific image of her in my mind, which was not what she looked like at all, just even in terms of being fair or dark and all that. I have always detected a dark side to Sarah's work,
mm-hmm.
Despite her incredible wit and her offbeat take on things. And in person, I found her a very serious person.
So that's why you wanted to go for that more serious look?
Well, I think in general, my work has a somber quality to it. In the case of somebody who's written, you know, a hilarious novel, then I try to get that twinkle or levity in the eye, but it didn't quite happen with that photo of her.
And I think one of the most difficult things for somebody who's getting photographed by a professional photographer for a publicity shot, for a book, or whatever other reason, is that it's almost like a fashion shoot in the sense that you're almost like a professional model. You have to be there posing sometimes for hours,
right?
Off and on for hours. And if you're not a professional model, it's really quite a strain to be under the gaze of a camera for that extended amount of time and to have any sense of focus or affect.
Are you speaking from personal experience?
Well, I am, actually. I've had to take, not for a book, but I've had to take, you know, publicity shots. And
right.
I just find it exhausting and trying. And I'm not good at smiling on demand. So if a photographer says, okay, smile, I mean, well, sure, I can make those lips move, you know, in the imitation of a smile, but it's really not going to be very convincing.
Well, I don't permit smiling, so let's get that straight.
You don't even permit it. to tell me about that.
Well, I mean, I guess I don't... I'm Although, you know, when I look at my contact sheets, eventually something will have happened during the shoot that makes the person laugh or smile, and it's a thing of beauty, of course. But for what I'm going for, see, I feel like that is a lovely thing and perhaps has more of a place in the history of the person and a person, more of a personal photo. But I think for something like kind of going for more of a, I suppose, iconic moment or image, I feel like a grin, kind of, in the best sense of the word, distorts the face, and distracts a little bit from this structure that I'm so interested in. And now that's not to say that I'm trying to save the photos from grimness most of the time. I do like them to be serious, but that doesn't mean that I don't welcome, like, levity and wit and all those good things to come through the face. But I think they can come through just fine, short of a big grin. I think they can come through the musculature of the face and it's corny to say, but through the eyes and just in the expression. And that will happen hopefully during the course of the shoot when somebody feels slightly amused or something. And if it's not there, I might add for a drop of it if I need it for a certain thing. But I never say smile.
Marian Ettlinger, speaking with Terry Gross last year. A collection of her book jacket portraits has just been published called Author Photo, Portraits 1983 to 2002.